joining us now to talk about it. He's a former coach of the Kings, but he's doing some work for Comcast Sportsnet now. Gary St. Jean, kind enough to join us. Gary, it's Nate, Brian May with you. Thanks for making the time this morning.
Well, fellas, I'm on vacation, so plenty of time.
Where is vacation?
Right here in Danville, relaxing.
There you
going
go.
Nowhere.
Hey, that's my kind of vacation, Saint. I mean, you don't have to go somewhere to be on vacation, man. I love it. Hey, speaking of vacation, this is my idea of a smooth transition. The Kings decided to go to the Bahamas or something like that in the third quarter last night. What can you really say at this point, Gary? The Kings beat them, a week and a half ago, and it just seems like whenever this Warriors team loses, it's a fluke. Is there any other way to look at it?
Well, they haven't lost back-to-back in 134 games. Jeez. And, they got beat the other night, so I knew they'd come out with a good performance. But I got to share with you guys, the first half, the Kings were the better team. They were more aggressive. They played good defense. They had played the night before in L.A. and looked like the team that was rested. I liked the way they played. They had won 5 out of 6, of course, 4 in a row, and beaten the Warriors up there in Sacramento. So you like what's going on up there, and they're in a heck of a race. But I'd like to tell you, we haven't seen these onslaughts that the Warriors put on in the third period, but it's a common occurrence. And you guys talked about the run. It was 28-2. And, it was like Steve Kerr had a message before the game to the guys. He said, now remember, the break does not start until 10:30, not at 7:30, which was the start of the game. And maybe the guys at halftime for the Kings thought they were on break, semester break or whatever. But what a performance. Klay Thompson, 17 points in the quarter. And, you got a glimpse of, Draymond Green gets thrown out. But Kevin Durant and Thompson played great. Curry didn't shoot it well, but sure had a lot of assists and rebounds. And, on to the second half of the year.
Coach, when you talk about the run that the Warriors went on, and granted it's the Warriors and we have to take that into the equation, but if you're Dave Yeager and you've seen your team give up quarters like they have all season, how frustrating is it to try and stop that kind of mentality when you just let teams go on runs like that?
It's real frustrating. And, you use your timeouts. So you're looking for the TV timeouts. Anything you can do, change the lineup, put different guys in there. Maybe you get fed up enough to get thrown out of the game. You don't want to watch anymore. Maybe you think somebody else can do a better job on the bench. So it can be frustrating, but again, you got to try to find some positives, and you're in a heck of a race. And, I'm looking at the paper this morning, and both Denver and Portland got beat, so you don't lose any ground there. So you're right there in the loss column, which to me is the key. And you got a three-team race, but, don't count Dallas or New Orleans out. I like the fact you're playing Denver 3 times, I think, in the next 3 weeks. I think I'm correct with that.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
That's big. I mean, that's like a mini playoff series. And we saw Denver the other night hammer the Warriors. They were fabulous. They made 24 threes and put on a show. So it's going to be interesting. I'll tell you guys, I'm biased because I've coached both teams and general manager down here. I would love for the Sacramento Kings to play the Warriors in the first round. I think it'd be just fabulous. So I'm pulling for the Kings to really finish this up in the right way.
Man, that would just be an insane. I mean, it really doesn't matter how the series ended either. It would be a blast to have those two fan bases going back and forth. Gary St. Jean joining us on KHTK. When you're coaching a team in the situation like the Kings, where basically on a week to week basis you're teetering back and forth between being a bad lottery team and being right there in the thick of the playoff hunt, and that's obviously a completely different perspective from somewhere where the Warriors are, where they just kind of have to keep the train moving. How do you, what kind of tack do you take as a coach there when you're constantly walking the line between, hey guys, we're not a bad team, we really got a shot at this?
Well, you know what? I think that belief is in the locker room right now. I can see it. I like the way Cousins is playing right now. He's reading when he's double teamed. People have to decide, pick your poison. Double team him all the time and let other people beat you, or let him go for 40. The Lakers didn't double team him, and he did go for 40. Warriors mixed up their double teams. But that's how dominant a player he is. I like Willie Cauley-Stein. I like the athleticism, the aggressiveness he brings. And I like that Ben McLemore's playing more again. He had the most minutes on the floor last night. Collison has been good, a follow play in the three. Barnes and Tolliver coming off the bench have been productive. So I know you got Lawson out with an injury, but it seems to feel, I'm giving you the eye test of from afar down here, that things are better, the defense is better, that you're winning close games like that Laker game. So, Cousins will go down and represent the Kings and have a great experience down there. Makes me feel old, but 25 years ago this past week, I was with Nelly when we went down there to Orlando for Magic Johnson's big game. And it's a special time, and you take a lot of pride in it. I know the Warrior guys are flying at 9 o'clock this morning with all their families down there. And, you're excited about it. But I'm excited for the Kings fans. You're filling up the new arena. There's a lot of energy. And, hopefully it keeps going in the right direction.
Coach, because I know you're around the Warriors a lot, I want to ask you one just kind of mindset of the team. Last year the focus was such on, are you going to win 72? Are you going to win 72? And granted, I know you've thrown a new drastic player in KD in the mix, but how different is this team and just the way they're approaching the season this year?
Yeah, it is different from the standpoint that you don't have both at Azili and Spates. So you had that rim protection and a more conventional kind of lineup. You saw McGee last night, who's played with a number of teams. He's found a home. He's playing well. But David West and Pachulia are both out. Injuries are part of the NBA regular season. You live with it. Next guy up. To answer your question, I think they're going to be in the 60s, which is a great number. That's a special number to get to. I'll share with you guys that Steve Kerr sticks to a rotation. What do we mean by that? He has a substitution pattern. So guys like Curry and Thompson and Green and Durant aren't going to play much more than 34 minutes. They really play the bench, and they think that's going to have a positive impact if they get toward the end of the season in the playoffs, that they won't be totally worn out. And I think that that's a great philosophy. I think Durant has been absolutely amazing. I'll tell you guys, he's better than I thought he was. I don't know if you guys watch many of the games, but he's so much better defensively than I thought he was. I mean, he's blocking shots. Look at last night in that third quarter. You guys remember the jump shot that he blocked? I think Barnes took it, and he just threw it back and led to another what we call live ball turnover, where you get a deflection or steal or a block shot while the ball is in play, and off you go and get a fast break layup down the other end. It's deflating. They had 17 fast break points in the third quarter. They're a team that can explode on you. And as you guys noted, they're not going to worry about that 72 stuff at all. They just want to be healthy and on top of their game. And, we always say that the NBA regular season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you just got to keep your pace and keep playing at a high level.
You brought up Kevin Durant's defense, and we know, I mean, this Warriors team was number one in defense last year, too. But I've always felt like that was something that was really underrated about him, with that length and athleticism. Are they a better defensive team this year? Because you could see last night, the scoring's always going to come for them, but when they commit to locking you down on defense, you're just going to be smothered.
Well, guys, it's a good observation, because most people say, oh, my gosh, they make all these threes. And, they've got 35 games with more than 30 assists. The next best team is 9, the Celtics. They move the ball like nobody else. Last night, 32 assists, 10 turnovers. But here's the deal that people don't understand. You've got Klay Thompson, who arguably is as good a two-way player, meaning offense and defense, that we have at the two-guard position. He was great in the third period with some steals. Then you've got, at the three spot, you've got Durant, another above-average defender. Then you've got Draymond Green, who is another above average defender. So those three guys maybe make the all defensive team. And then you've got Andre Iguodala, who has been on the all defensive team, coming off the bench. So sure, you've lost the Bogut, who's a great defender, but you've got these guys, and they have a high basketball IQ. So the invoke thing in the NBA is to switch a lot of pick and roll. So if you two guys cross, instead of fighting through the screen, I'm going to switch with my teammate. Well, they have the ability and the intelligence to do it. They do a beautiful job keeping the ball in front of them, making teams beat them over the top. And as you said, when you play good defense and you get a defensive rebound or a steal, they love getting out in the open floor. That's your reward for playing good defense. You know, and then off they go, flying down the other end. So if you're really into NBA basketball, they're number one in defense and number one in offense, and they've got the highest point differential per game that we've seen since the Lakers of 1970 with Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor.
Wow.
Sane, I want to get back to the Kings for just a moment. 25 or so games left in the season. You know you don't have Rudy for these final 25 going forward. What would you like to see from the Sacramento Kings to close out the season?
Well, I like what I'm seeing in Collison. He's playing better. He looks comfortable. And they need that productivity from the point guard position. I don't know, guys, how long Lawson's going to be out. You can tell me. But they need that play at the point guard position. I like, we've seen guys that haven't played much for a while and then they're back in vogue. For example, McLemore. This kid's a terrific athlete. And you know what? It's time for him to produce. He's had the opportunities. He's played for a lot of coaches. We know he can fly up and down. Can you consistently defend well and make some jump shots and good decisions on the floor? Aaron Afalo is had a heck of a career. I like him playing three now, and he's a good defender. I think the team defense is better, and that's one of the reasons why, because at 2 and 3 with McLemore and Afalo, you've got good defenders. Afalo can knock down a three. I hope he can shoot the ball a little bit better. I don't know that you can ask much more from Cousins. I just think he's been terrific. You know, Barnes brings you some toughness. Tolliver's been a nice surprise, making perimeter jump shots. That's what he's hung his hat on in the league. And, the guy that might close out this season and be a key ingredient for you is Willie Cauley-Stein. Mm-hmm. He had that dunk last week. Who the heck was that against? Do you guys remember? Was it Boston?
I think it was Boston.
He had a dunk last week, and of course, I'm watching the games. I went, whoa! Where did that come from? I mean, he was flying. So there's a kid. He's an athlete. He competes. He can block shots. He can rebound. Can you refine your game in the paint? Can you get us some points down there on the box? That kind of thing. Run the floor. Outrun the other big. And I think Dave Yeager's comfortable with Kufos. He's a guy that he had in Memphis years ago, and he knows his schemes on both ends of the floor. But it's all about them continuing to defend and then share the ball on the offensive end and take care of it. Don't beat yourself. And you guys know that the Warriors play the Kings, four times? So for 78 games, I'm cheering hard for the Kings. I really want them to do well. So I hope it comes together for them.
Gary St. Jean's joining us on KHTK. You had mentioned that, the Kings' defense has improved and that, you don't know how much more you could actually ask of DeMarcus Cousins. I'm curious your assessment, from a coaching perspective, when DeMarcus is committed to playing defense, what's your assessment of how he performs on that end of the floor? I mean, we know he's not a big shot blocker, but I've always been a big fan of, for example, the way he takes charges, because you know what? You might block a ball out of bounds or it might still end up with the team that had the ball. You take a charge, that's a turnover right there.
Well, we don't see many big guys do what DeMarcus does. He's a unique player. And on the defensive end, you hit it right on the head. He's not a big vertical guy. He's a power guy and has great hands, feet, quickness. And he has what I call a feel that you can't teach. He anticipates plays beautifully. That's how you get in position to take a charge. Now, other bigs might try to go up and block the shot, but he knows who he is, and he's the best in the business at taking charges. So go to your strengths, stay away from your weaknesses. Where he can be even better is to be dominant on the defensive board. I think he's what we call a space eater. He's not going to go up and get the rebound up above that white box up there at about 12 feet. But if you're going to try and get around him, good luck. And he's got great hands. So, you know, I hope he can average double-figure big-time rebounds the rest of the way. I think that's the way he can really help on the defensive end. And on the offensive end with DeMarcus, I think he's found comfort with his teammates and the coaches. You know, we see him knocking down the three ball. We see him up on the elbow. That's the intersection of the free throw line and the lane. And if you give him a live ball, meaning he hasn't dribbled yet, and he can drive to the basket, when he's on the left side and he goes right to the middle, his dominant hand, he's almost unstoppable. You know, he's just so strong and powerful. And then down on the box, you know, double teams come. He's finding people weak side with good passes. If not, he's powering to the basket. You know, I think he can even get to the free throw line more, and he makes shots there. And I tell you guys what I see. I see growth in him dealing with emotional situations. I know we look at all the technicals, but I do think he's gotten better. He's able to put some things like a duck, let the water roll off your back. If there's a bad call, sometimes he's letting it go now. He's not battling it, not letting them affect it for 3-4 minutes with anger. He's keeping his composure. And when he does that, guys, he's one of the most unique players we have in the NBA.
Coach, I want you to put on your GM hat for me. We're coming up on the trade deadline. What's it like to be a general manager on these last few days before the trade deadline, deciding, do we make this move? Do we pull the trigger and try and better our team, knowing we could disrupt everything we've built?
Well, you got to look at where you are in the standings. And right now, you're knocking on the door of the playoffs. And for the fans' sake, you're going to do everything you can to give yourself a chance to get in these playoffs. It's so much fun. So I look at this team, the biggest issue right now, guys, that GMs deal with is this salary cap. And it's about the level that you can go to, and feel comfortable with your income. It's a business. And you have to evaluate your players and where they are and what year in their contracts. You have some guys that are going to be free agents, that are unrestricted free agents, that are restricted free agents. So you have to study that stuff. For example, I think Rudy has an option on 1 year left on his contract.
That's right.
You look at McLemore. I think he is going to be I think he might be unrestricted. What that means, if he gets an offer, he can go. If he's restricted, then the Kings have an opportunity to match the contract that was given by another team. If I'm the Kings, I don't know how Lawson is. Is there another point guard that we can pick up? If we can't make a deal, who's out there that we could maybe get on a 10-day contract? You look at this kid, Yogi Ferrell, who bounced around and has now found a home down in Dallas.
Good point,
I love these kind of stories. The kid, Jason Randall, was with the Knicks for a while. He goes down to Philadelphia, played at Stanford, as I noted, and he's playing down there. So, you know, the D League has more young, good players, and maybe you go that route. But it's hard to make a deal. It's not an easy process. You got to get two people coming together, have the contracts match up and all that kind of thing. But I do think we will overall in the league see some significant movement. You saw Denver make a deal with Portland, two of the teams the Kings are going to be battling with. You saw Plumlee go for that Doncic. I'm sure that Vlade and his crew will be out there making a ton of phone calls. And if they can get something done, great. But they still have a good chance to make the playoffs.
That's the voice of Gary St. Jean, former coach of the Kings, currently plying his wares at Comcast Sportsnet, making some time for us today and saying positive things about the local basketball team. Thanks, Saint. We love having you on, man.
All right, guys. You have a wonderful day up there.
All right, you too. Thank you. Just to clarify here too, or you know, Ben McLemore is a restricted free agent this offseason, qualifying offer at $5.3 million, but it's kind of there have been no reports at all of the Kings
shopping him.
I don't know how interested they are. He's trying to play his way into that.
And has played much better recently. I like what I'm seeing from him right now.
You know, there's something about knowing that you're going to get playing time, whether it's because of injuries or whatever.
Right.
I tell this story all the time, but it's like going down. We had a City League thing going out at Rush Park with a couple of guys from here at the station. And we ended up having to disband the team because we showed up for too many games with four guys. And people are always like, well, it must stink playing with four dudes. It's like, no, it actually kind of rules. You're never coming off the floor, and there's no such thing as a bad
shot.
Put
me in, coach.
it's kind of neat. You're going to get your butt kicked, but you're going to get buckets too. 8:26, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento. Thanks to Gary St. Jean. More Kings Warriors wrap up. Plus, we'll take you around the NBA in 5 minutes. Oh, and the Bearco Redwood giveaway coming up in 15 minutes from now. Keep it here. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.